Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of January 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, I'll tell you about a meeting tomorrow night in Clinton, Illinois, where you can find out how to sign up for the Farm Bill. That one, by the way, is at the Richland Community College building at 6:30 p.m. in Clinton, Illinois. It's free and open to all. We'll also discuss the upcoming all-day ag outlook. You heard that right. We're selling tickets right now at 217-333-7300. The all-day ag outlook is our annual event held at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. This year, it's on the 10th day of March. More on that as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday. Futures in the corn pit were up 3.25 cents at $3.90 and a quarter. In the nearby March, the May at $3.97 and 3/4, 3.5 higher, and July futures at $4.04, up 3 cents. September contract in the corn pit at $4.09 and 3/4, up 3, and December futures of next year at $4.17, 2 and a quarter higher. From the soy complex, bean futures finished lower, down 9 and 3/4 in the March at $9.82, May at $9.87 and 3/4, 9 and 3/4 lower, and July at $9.93, down a dime. August down 10 cents as well, $9.92 and a half the settlement price. November beans at $9.66 and 3/4, finished 8 and a half cents lower for the day. The bean meal on the day lead option up 30 cents at $3.26.50, and the bean oil on the afternoon at $32.84, 55 cents lower for the day. Chicago wheat in the soft red, July contract at $5.44 and a quarter, up 6 cents. The lead option March at $5.37. That was up 4 and a quarter. And Kansas City hard red winter wheat for the day at $5.77 and 3/4 in the March, up 3/4. July up 3/4 as well, $5.83 and a half, the settlement price there. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $153.10 in the lead, down $1.35 for the afternoon. Feeder cattle for the day finished the January at $2.1425, up 15 cents, but the March were down $1.97 and a half at $2.0287 and a half, and the lead hogs today at $71.85 in the February contract, $2.65 lower. April, we're down to $3 limit. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, crude oil futures at $46.13 a barrel, or $2.56 lower for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.63 and 2 cents, that's 3 and 3 tenths of a cent lower. And the gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB at $1.31 and 9 cents, that's 3 and 9 tenths of a cent lower. Ethanol futures by comparison are currently trading at $1.38, that's $1.38 and 8 cents, up 3.5 tenths. And the natural gas at $2.83. 3 and 6 tenths, 2 and 9 tenths of a cent lower for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now shows us that it's trading up about 26 points, 17,458. Gold futures around $1,292, $15.25 higher. And the U.S. dollar in the index at 93.325. That's up 0.435 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly cloudy skies, a high of 42 degrees, west-northwest winds at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy to low of 30. Tomorrow, a slight chance of snow. That'll come before noon, then a slight chance of rain after that, maybe a little snow. Cloudy, a high of 39 tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, cloudy to low of 28. Winds northwest to 5 to 9 miles an hour. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high of 38 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 25 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 40. Friday night, partly cloudy and 31. And for the weekend, Saturday, partly sunny and 42. Sunday, a chance of rain or snow, cloudy, and a high near 39 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour on Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, and this is a Tuesday afternoon. We're always joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities on this day. He's in New Market, Indiana. Wayne, thanks for taking the time. What was the primary trade in Chicago or that which moved the marketplace around, and where do we want to start for the day?
Well, I think, you know, the major factor probably was as we went home on Friday, we were looking at a forecast that was supposed to be moving the blocking ridge in South America out into the ocean and maybe allow some rain in different places. And it does look like we have a kinder forecast as far as rain coming into Minas Gerais and the Goiás area a little bit today. And that was one of the biggest things that started out overnight with the forecast looking better.
No, that turned the marketplace lower for soybeans. Some are thinking that a $9 handle on the low side is going to be what we'll see at the bottom side. Do you see this? We're now in the lead option at 982.
Well, it's going to take a little bit of going on to get us that low here now. But, we definitely can go down to the 950 mark if the funds decide to liquidate some of their long positions there, Todd. There's a lot of beans. The weather keeps getting a little better in South America, which we know that they're going to probably trim some of the estimates there because there are some dry areas like that. But, 5% of the one area where their harvesting has been harvested, 1% overall, and they are doing a little bit better than what they were expected on the early beans in those areas. But that's just barely getting into the thing so far.
Harvesting beans and exporting beans are two different things. That's not really happening at this point. And the pace of exports from the United States remains fairly strong because those beans are not yet coming out of South America. Any ideas that they'll start to turn to South America soon?
Well, unfortunately, we got those ideas on Friday and again today with some cancellations. We reported today another cancellation. They canceled 174,000 metric tons on Friday, and that with the total put together was 459,000 metric tons that were canceled between Friday and today. So we are seeing some washouts have been sold on out to other Chinese crushers, but basically all in all, it looks like they're turning a little bit more to South America as we look. But, it's still a ways away. Their harvest is running about 2 weeks late, and we've still got time to maybe put a few more things together there but before we just go down to zero exports down there. But it is looking like they are looking a little harder towards that and the cheaper price they have.
Sometimes an item for one commodity, which might be negative, is positive for another commodity. If they're not filling cargo bays in the United States with soybeans, sometimes they fill them with corn. And we've been waiting for the export market to pick up at least pace a little bit, though it's not really lagging behind last year at this point either.
Well, we're actually really ahead of last year. We've shipped out a little more corn, not as much as we would have if we'd probably had boats available, like you said. So I think this is going to help push the totals that we ship out every week on corn. We are making that up. The other thing that's good is, we talk about the ethanol problems and because of the oil wells shutting down in the Dakotas. It's also shutting down some of the oil and sand being shipped to and from that area and freeing up some rail cars. So it is going to make the corn more available at the Gulf and at the export terminals that way, and that will also help us maybe to catch up on our corn shipments. Or with all of the corn that we've got to sell, it'd be good to be able to get it in position that we can load it out in a hurry.
I suppose producers are thinking about moving their old crop. Do you have suggestions as to whether they should or should not at this time?
Well, I think that look at your basis levels in your area. Don't look at the flat price. If you need to make a basis sale, haul some corn in, core those bins, and get some moved. We don't have good basis levels and high prices in general unless there's a shortage like we had in the beans coming into this year. If we have lots of supplies and high prices, we have a wide basis, and as the price goes down, the basis narrows. So take advantage of that if you want to re-own it with a call or just do a basis contract with the elevator. Core those bins out.
December new crop corn at $4.17. Is this an area, given a stronger basis maybe for the fall, that you might consider new crop sales?
We're looking at it very closely. We'd like to see probably another dime to 15 cents before we get real aggressive. But if you haven't got anything sold, this is a place that isn't a bad place to start, because over $4 come this fall may not be too bad a price. The one thing we are looking at is, and we're hoping to see just a little bit of a little fight for some acreage to get us back in, over the 89 to 90 million acres in the corn projected. Of course, we were at the 88 million there with Informa last week. And I think that we'd feel a lot more comfortable if we're seeing 89 to 90 million acres of corn as far as our balance sheet for the next year.
Yeah, the Informa numbers were a little lower for corn, but if you put 88 million acres of soybeans in as well, which is what their number was, they kind of had a 50-50 swap there. That number really seems pretty large to me. Does it not seem that way to you?
That's because it is.
It is a big number, but we already have 410 million bushels of soybeans in a carryout as an ending stock from this year. Why would producers be considering so many acres of soybeans?
Well, I think because under $4 corn, it's hard to pay what they're asking for seed corn, for fertilizer and cash rent right now, and it's less expensive to put out a bushel of beans, and especially in beans, we're still trading, they're $9.67 today on the Novembers. We were over $10 last week, and that made them very much more advantageous. So, you know, we're going to lose back a little bit of the bean acres to the corn if we keep the beans under pressure here. You know, everybody thought we have to raise corn to buy corn acres. We maybe just have to sell off beans and leave corn where it's at.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Wayne.
Thanks.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. You can check him out on our website at willag.org. There you'll find a couple of meetings up at the top of the page. Our All-Day Ag Outlook, by the way, is on Tuesday, the 10th day of March. You can buy your tickets right now at 217-333-7300. Let me repeat that because I know you'll want to buy those tickets today. 217-333-7300. The All-Day Ag Outlook and all the details on our website at willag.org. Tickets available for just $25 at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You're going to call us to get those at 217-333-7300. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Pacific Maritime Association and the International Longshore and Warehouse Union are still at odds over labor contracts, and the ongoing dispute is affecting service at several West Coast ports. Both sides are still blaming the other for the failure to reach a labor agreement. The ports having the most problems are Oakland, Portland, and Seattle-Tacoma. Talks have been occurring almost consistently for the past 6 months. The contract being negotiated covers nearly 20,000 longshore workers at 29 West Coast ports. A senior Russian official says Russia might consider banning grain exports altogether if informal trade restrictions already in place fail to benefit the economy as hoped. Russia had been exporting record volumes from a large grain crop of 104 million tons as the plunging value of the ruble linked to the country's economic crisis spurred a dash for hard currencies while driving up domestic prices. AgRural today says that Brazil's expected record large soybean crop is about 1% harvested nationwide. Yield estimates were lowered in smaller producing states Minas Gerais, Goiás, and Bahia, but were raised in top-growing state Mato Grosso. Mato Grosso State's Farm Institute says harvesting was 4.1% complete as of Friday in the state that is responsible for nearly a third of soybean production. Opponents of the Keystone XL pipeline in Nebraska have filed two new lawsuits over the proposed route after the state's Supreme Court recently tossed a previous legal challenge out. Landowners in Holt and York counties filed lawsuits on Friday against pipeline developer TransCanada to stop the Canadian company from using eminent domain power to gain access to their land. All of the landowners have legal standing to bring the case. That's important because Three judges in the previous case said the landowners lacked standing. Four of the court's seven judges declared the law unconstitutional, but five were required. The International Monetary Fund on Monday revised downward its global economic outlook amid slower-than-expected growth in most of the world's largest economies. The fund cut its global growth forecast for 2015 by 0.3% to 3.5%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. You can check out our calendar there. It's over on the right-hand side of the page in the menu items, Will Ag Calendar. You can also sign up for our newsletter there. Dave writes that on the weekend. And every time there is a USDA report, you can sign up for the newsletter. Subscribe and unsubscribe, in fact, to that newsletter on the right-hand side of the page. But right now, the calendar of events is really full with a schedule of items in the evening, sometimes during the daytime, where we'll be appearing along with our market analyst and sometimes a U of I Extension professional to talk about either the marketplace or the farm bill or both. You can find all the meeting schedule at willag.org. Look under the Will Ag Calendars heading. In fact, right now, at the top of the homepage, you'll find tomorrow night's meeting in Clinton, Illinois listed. That's at the Richland Community College Building. Gary Schnitt from U of I Extension will be there to take everybody through how to sign up for the Farm Bill. It's free and open to all at 6:30 tomorrow night, sponsored by WHOW and Peterson Insurance. Be sure to come at 6:30 p.m. to see Gary make a presentation on how to sign up for the Farm Bill and some of the choices that landowners and farmers will be making in the next several weeks. If you haven't done this yet, right now is an important time to get it done. There are some dates that are coming up very soon as it's related to base acre allocation and yield allocation, and then, of course, the ARC and PLC decision. Three different decisions that you can learn about tomorrow evening in Clinton at the Richland Community College Building. The address for that building is 140 Sunrise Court. Again, that's 140 Sunrise Court. It's right along Route 51 on the west side of Clinton, Illinois. Again, WHOW, the big 1520 AM, thank you for sponsoring that event and for carrying this program, the Closing Market Report. Now, you know, it's that time of year when farmers begin to think about moving some grain out of their bins. It's not always the safest thing to do. Grain rescue tubes have been acquired by fire departments and grain elevators across the U.S., that's in hopes, of course, assisting those in need of rescue that have been trapped in those grain bins. The tube, as you'll hear, is placed around the victim and siphons the grain away, relieving the pressure around the person's body and making them easier to extract from the bin. Illinois has become the first state to create an app that shows the location of each rescue tube in the state. NAFB member and farm broadcaster from WSMI in Litchfield, Illinois, Angela Bash, reports.
On December 18th, the Illinois Corn Growers Association and the Illinois Grain and Seed Association released the Illinois Grain Rescue Tube Locator app to help Illinois farmers find out where the closest rescue tube is to them. Value Enhanced Projects Manager for the Illinois Corn Marketing Board, Illinois Corn Growers Association, Phil Thornton, said they came up with the idea for the app while conducting related research.
We were trying to find where all of the grain rescue tubes were located in the state of Illinois. So we worked very closely with the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois and did a survey of grain elevators. And we also worked with the Fire Protection District Association of Illinois to see where all of the firehouses were. From that, we put surveys out to see who had them, and then we started to do a GPS location on each unit. And we came up with actually hundreds of them, and from that we decided, well, let's put together an app and have it be able to tell a person, if they're in need of one, where the closest one would be at.
The app, currently available on iPhones, iPads, and Android platforms, will work regardless of cell service, according to Thornton. He walks us through what to expect once the app is downloaded.
Once you install it, it will be an icon on your phone, and it's titled Illinois Grain Rescue Tube Locator. The first screen that you'll see is upper right-hand corner. It just says, call 911. You know, before you do anything, if you're in trouble, you need to call 911 to let them know. And then there is a little box that's in yellow. It says recheck your location, and all you have to do is just hit that button, and it will bring up the closest grain rescue tube to your location. And if you happen to call that location and they've moved it or they don't have it on hand, you can hit the list button, and it will tell you where the next grain rescue tube is at.
Fortin stressed the danger of working in grain bins, stating once a person becomes entrapped in a filled grain bin,
you basically just have minutes.
Because of this danger, Thornton says he hopes this app serves as an educational tool.
The main point I think that we want to do with this is an educational outreach. You know, don't go in the bin, first of all. If you have to go in the bin, make sure somebody else is with you. Take a look at it. Be very cautious and careful. You know, use safety harness. But the best thing to do is just not get in the bin.
In order to keep the app up to date, Thornton says the Illinois Corn Growers Association is working with the Illinois Labor Department and the State of Illinois Fire Department District Association. But Thornton stressed a key part of the app is that those who have downloaded it can help update it as well.
On the app, if you do have a new grain rescue tube or if you've moved the location to it, you can go to the app under the help section and actually send an email just giving the new location and information, and it will be updated on the app.
Thornton says he hopes to see many downloads of the app, even though he also hopes those who download it never need it.
Frankly, we hope this app is never used. We do suggest strongly to go ahead and download the app, have it on your iPad or your iPhone or your Android. It is free of charge. Play around with it a little bit to see where the nearest one is at. No matter where you're at in the state, it will always direct you to the nearest one.
The app is even gaining attention nationally.
It's been downloaded hundreds of times so far. I don't know the exact number today. There's been a lot of fire departments that have called. We've had phone calls from insurance companies nationwide. I've had calls from other state corn growers associations wanting to know how they can also duplicate this app, which at this point is very easy, because we spent a year putting this app together, so we're more than willing to share it with anybody as how to go about doing this.
According to the Iowa Farmer Today, the national number of grain bin incidents recorded in 2014 surged past the 2013 total of 33 by about midsummer. The final 2014 numbers will be released early this year. Reporting, I'm Angela Besch.
Our thanks go to farm broadcaster Angela Bash. She's located at WSMI. That's in Litchfield, Illinois, if you're passing through. Be sure to tune in to their radio station. You can always hear us at willag.org. That's willag.org after the fact. Our programs are uploaded not long after they air on our many radio stations. So thank you so much for taking the time to stay with us for this afternoon in the closing market report. One other item there upcoming is our March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. If you go to the willag.org website, you can find all the details. But right now, what you really want to know is how to get a ticket. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, our annual event. You can just call 217-333-7300. Right now, and get your tickets today. That's 217-333-7300. Get your tickets today for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's scheduled for Tuesday, the 10th day of March. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Butter Crunch Day, and it's also St. Sebastian Day, patron of gardeners. On this day in agricultural history in 1910, Joy Adamson was born. A naturalist and conservationist, she documented in Kenya local uses of plant parts for insecticides, dyes, fibers, and foods. In 1964, the world's largest cheese was made, a 34,000-pound cheddar. It was created by the Wisconsin Cheese Foundation for the 1964-1965 New York World's Fair. It took 170,000 quarts of milk from 16,000 cows. it was eaten at the 1965 annual meeting of the Wisconsin Dairymen and Cheesemakers Association. And in 1998, American researchers at the University of Massachusetts announced that they had cloned calves that could be used in the production of medicinal milk. The goal was to mass produce milk containing human proteins important for treating human diseases by splicing human genes into cattle DNA. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Online, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, why don't you start us right here in the Midwest? What kind of weather conditions will we have over the next several days?
Well, it's going to be fairly chilly. We've got a series of systems that will funnel in some air out of south-central Canada into the Great Lakes Midwest. Nothing brutally cold. I would just call it January cold. But the way the storms are going to be tracking, the heavier precipitation chances are going to be sort of going around us, either to our south or up along the east coast, where it looks to be a very active weather pattern later this week and the weekend.
And then if you turn, speaking of south, much further south into the southern hemisphere, can you tell me about conditions on the ground in Argentina and Brazil?
Well, it's getting a little warmer and a little bit drier. The best rain chances are going to be the central and southeastern growing areas of Brazil. Precipitation is going to be a lot more spotty in Argentina. It's also getting a little bit warmer as well. So they're looking at a trend compared to when we talked last. It's a little warmer and a little drier.
Anything on the broader perspective that we should discuss as it relates to weather conditions and temperatures in the oceans and what we might expect over the next several months?
Well, I think we are going to have a very busy February. I think what we're going to see during the month of February, at least in the northern hemisphere, is a fairly stormy pattern. There's going to be some opportunities for some, at least one or two other Arctic outbreaks into the Corn Belt and into the Midwest. So despite the relatively quiet weather we have now, I would expect February to be much different. We say that based on the water temperatures that we see in the Pacific right now, that does provide us a good setup for more cold, but also a more active storm track as the month wears on.
Hey, thank you so very much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. He'll be back again next Tuesday, as usual, on our program. You can find us online, by the way, at willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you go there right now, at the top of the page, you'll find some information about a meeting tomorrow night on how to sign up for the Farm Bill. U of I Extension at Will Ag will hold a meeting at 6:30 p.m. in Clinton, Illinois tomorrow for landowners and farmers. That's sponsored by the Peterson Insurance Group and WHOW. That's the big 15:20 a.m. out of Clinton, Illinois. It's at the Richland Community College building. That's 140 Sunrise Court. It starts at 6:30. We'd be glad to have you there. Come on out and learn how to sign up for the Farm Bill with one of the professionals from the U of I who knows a whole lot more about that bill than many others do. That's Gary Schnittke. He's an Extension Ag Economist. Tomorrow night, 6:30 in Clinton at the Richland Community College building, 140 Sunrise Court. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.